Blog Talk Radio.
It's showing on the court. I mean, to lose to the Hornets last night without Emeka Okafor, without Carl Landry, without Eric Gordon, a game they need to win because they're sinking fast in the Western Conference playoff race, and they can't get it done with two starters on the All-Star team. Clearly, there are problems in that locker room. There's problems in that organization, and they need to get it fixed pretty quickly.
Okay. Music didn't go off. Let's do it again.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
I'm back. The surgery was pretty long, and I was asleep for all of it, but I'm back. And today, I'm not going to do much talking, I hope, because my vocal cords can't take it. But I know my co-host, JT the ATM, is going to have a lot to say, especially about his Jets and what's going on. I have a very good word that JT's thinking about changing teams. Is that right, JT?
That's an absolute fact. That's I'm seriously thinking about it. 40 years, 44 years to be exact, I've been a diehard Jet fan, lived through Browning, Nagel, Blair, Thomas, and pickups of the draft and trades like that. I am at my wit's end. I'm looking for another team. I'm looking to be drafted to get another team besides the gangrene that I'm dealing with right now.
Well, you know, the Washington Redskins will be more than happy to take you on.
I'm not that desperate.
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. If you want to call in and state your claim to fame, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And you can chop it up with us. But on today's show, we're going to cover the NFL. We're going to cover NBA issues, college basketball, and maybe even a little Major League Baseball. So we have the Elite Eight: Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Ohio State, Baylor, Syracuse, Orangemen, and Louisville. And they're considered the Elite Eight of college basketball this year. Who's going to win it all? We'll talk about it. Also, excuse me, I said my voice isn't that good today. We're going to talk about Jerry. We're going to hear from Tiger Woods on his chances of doing well in the Masters, seeing as though he's making a charge at his latest golf outing. But what you heard at the top of the show was Chris Broussard of ESPN commenting on the Los Angeles Clippers. Word is that the Clippers have had some internal issues, Jerry, and it revolves around Vinny Del Negro. Some of the same issues that supposedly got Vinny removed from the Chicago Bulls. What do you think about that situation?
Well, you got to explain that situation to me. It must be some, I wouldn't say personality conflicts, but I guess the way he, I would say either his coaching methods or his coaching ways in game, or maybe in practice, or how he relates to players, or all the above. I'm not exactly sure.
It's a little bit of everything, because the word is that he's not having a lot of control over that team, even though he has superstars such as Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, as well as Caron Butler and a few other people.
Right.
They're supposed to be strong and good leaders. It seems as though the team wants to revolt against them a little bit. I'll play the soundbite again so you can hear what Broussard said.
Okay.
It's showing on the court. I mean, to lose to the Hornets last night without Emeka Okafor, without Carl Landry, without Eric Gordon, a game they need to win because they're sinking fast in the Western Conference playoff race, and they can't get it done with two starters on the All-Star team. Clearly, there are problems in that locker room. There's problems in that organization, and they need to get it fixed pretty quickly.
So,
wow.
The news broke a couple days ago. Broussard reported that Donegro was having issues with the team and discipline issues, and as you said, people listening to him. So is this just Vinny, you know, and his style or what? Because it's the same type of verbiage we heard when he was let go from the Bulls. He had a great team, but for some reason, the team didn't seem to work well with him. And Vinny wasn't known as a mean or loud player. He was more of a workman player when he played. So where do you think this is stemming from?
There's got to be something going on that that he's causing problems or whatever. That this is a second team now, and the same thing is reared up on a second team. So usually, a lot of times, if it's you go to one team and you have some issues, okay, you leave that team, you go to another team, and if the same issues. I don't think it's the players. Maybe you thought the first time it was the players, but now if it's rearing its head again, it's got to be something that you've got to look at. It's one central point or one central figure, and that's got to be the coach and the way he approaches the game, practice, players. He's got to have one of these fatal flaws that some of these coaches have that they only have a short lifespan when they deal with it, players. So it looks like he's coming to his lifespan again.
Could it be that, you know, since he was a work?
Hello? Hello? Am I still on there? It seems like we lost. Yes.
My bad. No. My cheek hit the mute button.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was saying that it could be because when he was with Chicago, he had Gordon. He had, I think he drafted, Rose was his last draft pick, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
That's a hell of a pick, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he had Luol Deng, and he had Joakim Noah and Carlos Boozer. I believe
okay.
He just got there.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had a mixture of young and old.
Yeah. But all the people I named supposedly are of good or better than average talent. And because, you know, they don't necessarily have to work as hard, he probably didn't, you know, get their lackadaisical efforts. And, you know, he was more of a Larry Bird type worker. He had to work really hard to get in the NBA. And to stay in the NBA, Del Negro was a three-point shooter, but he was also a good defender. You know, and he comes from that Popovich tree, I should say, because he played for Pop, and Pop is known as being a very strict disciplinarian.
Right.
So I'm thinking it has a little bit something to do with that as well.
Okay.
You know, because superstars nowadays really don't want to be taught or coached. They want to be told, okay, well, go out and make some plays. Unless you're LeBron, and LeBron says, well, coach me. So.
Well, I think I beg to differ on that. You know, if a superstar is coach me, put me in the right position so I can shine. Not to the fact is that just go out there and play. You got your coach, especially a superstar, is going to respect the coach if the coach acts and sounds like he knows what he's doing when he calls a play out or something in a crucial situation. puts players in their max position to get the max performance out of them. Superstars respect that and will listen for that. And then quite naturally, when the superstar listens, the rest of the team that has a less skill set is going to fall in place, because if he's listening to the coach, I know I got to listen to the coach, because I'm following my beast. I'm following my man, the one that's going to lead us to the promised land. As long as the coach puts him in the right position, so that's the key. The coach has got to get the respect of the most the best player on the team. He's got to have the respect of the best player on the team in order for the rest of the team to fall in place. And as long as the coach acts and does what he's supposed to do and is straight with the players, they'll get respected. Now, for instance, and I'm going to talk a little bit here. For instance, you go to New York, and I don't know if you want to go that way, but I want to go this way just to give you an idea what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You go to Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni, quite naturally, is a offensive-minded coach. And up until this year, he was running an offense with the Knicks not really concentrating on any kind of defense, per se. Okay, he had defense, but it was basically an afterthought. This season, Mike Goodson was forced on him, put in there to teach defense to his team. And at the end of last year, they got Carmelo Anthony. And he didn't really want Carmelo Anthony, because now he has a superstar, a real superstar, bigger than Amari Stoudemire, that has a higher skill set than he's ever dealt with. I mean, he had Steve Nash. Steve Nash was a point guard, which fit well into his system, and Steve Nash wasn't a defensive person. He was more offense. So that fell right in his D'Antoni's wheelhouse. He's got Carmelo Anthony. Now he's got to coach and put Carmelo Anthony in the prime position so he can get the max performance out of Carmelo Anthony, and that Carmelo Anthony is going to be comfortable in the coach's decision. Well, just before, supposedly, in quotation marks, he stepped down and resigned, there was rumors that Carmelo Anthony wasn't too happy with D'Antoni, and that they weren't getting along that well.
Carmelo refuted some of that in an interview.
They're all going to do it. Kobe did it when they had Paul Westphal. He did the same. I mean, Magic did it when they had Paul Westphal. But they all do it. They all deny, I had nothing to do with firing a coach, when everyone knows good and well the superstar is not going. The coach is going if there's a problem. So what I'm saying is this. D'Antoni wasn't projecting, in my opinion, or Carmelo wasn't feeling any confidence in the coach being able to put the players in the best position to get the best out of them. And things weren't working the way they're working now. Now, do you see the difference? D'Antoni leaves. Players feel a little bit better, get a little bit of stress and relief from them. Mike Goodson is a defensive-minded coach and a no-nonsense type of coach. If you notice, if you've ever watched the Knick game, you probably haven't had a chance to, but I've watched replays and I've watched the live plays. In certain situations, when players get out of hand, Jeremy Lin, Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith, to name a few, he called the player over, and I wouldn't say he read him the riot act, but he told them to get their shit in order, but for lack of a better word.
Thank you for dropping that in there.
Because the fact is, if you looked at the facial expressions of Mike Goodson and the player he's talking to, you know it's not, you're doing a good job, keep it up. He's getting in their neck because he's not happy with what they're doing. He's not. They're not sticking to the game plan. They're going off base, or they're in J.R. Smith's case, he was showing the team up that they were blowing out, and he walked over there with a smile. My good sister started talking to him. That smile went away. That's the type of coach players respect. That's the type of coach players respect, especially if the superstar, and that's why these guys are playing well, is buying in, because Carmelo Anthony is buying into what Mike Goodson is preaching. He's a no-nonsense coach. He knows his shit. He's decisive of what he wants to, to get done.
The second time. Thank you,
huh?
Jerry.
What's that?
You dropped the S word the second time.
I'm sorry. he's decisive in what he's saying. Like I'm saying, he keeps the guys in order, and Carmelo Anthony is buying into, because the guy is putting these guys in a good position to get the max performance out of them, and it's showing on the court. Not because of just a score, but the attitude of the guys. You can see how well they want to play with each other, and not afraid to pass the ball and getting enjoyment out of playing defense and getting assists. Now, how many teams do you know, professional teams, are getting out and playing defense and getting assists? That's what this guy is instilling in these guys about playing team basketball. Let me ask you this then.
Do you think that it is wise to have more of a defensive-minded coach to handle all-stars or a group of veteran players versus a offensive-minded coach? Because I'm looking at it from two points of view, now that you said that. Because the Bulls, Benny Del Negro was more of an offensive coach. They got the new – well, he's not new anymore, but the coach came in, was a defensive-minded and defense-oriented coach, and the Bulls are the best team or the second-best team in the NBA right now.
I understand
so
that.
Would you venture to say that a more defensive-minded coach is a better suit for a team like the Knicks or like even the Lakers? Is that something that would sit well with your theory, or no?
Well, to me, it doesn't make a difference whether the coach is a defensive-minded coach or an offensive-minded coach. The key is this, and this is the key with every professional team, regardless of whether it's basketball or not. As long as the best player on that team buys in what the coach is preaching, the rest of the team is going to fall in line. They ain't got no choice, because if the best player is listening to the coach, the best player is going to bring it down on the team. This is how we're going to do it. This is what the coach is saying. We're going to run it like the coach says. And they ain't got no choice. If the best player is buying in, who am I, if I'm not the best player on the team, to say I'm not doing that? Because you're going to have the rest of the team, including the best player, jump in your neck and saying you better get online or you're gonna be riding into the bench. Plain and simple. And okay. the coach will back the player up. That's what I'm talking about. The main thing in here doesn't make a difference whether it's an offensive minded coach or a defensive minded coach. It has to be a coach that gets well respected and listened to by the best player on the team.
Well, that's part of the problem with LA. I don't think Chris Paul is the best player on that team, but he's fairly new to the team. And, you know, Vinny Del Negro, I don't know if he's taken that stance like you just pointed out, but who knows? We'll see in the future. We got a caller right now from the 202.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring him on right now.
Okay.
Caller from the 202, please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics.
It is the provider of your HGH blood.
Shut up, Black. Whatever. Actually, I need some hormone stuff to go on to be pumped in my blood. It gave me all this Percocet and oxycodone and all this other crap I got to put in my system. Well, what's going on, young man?
What's going on? You guys talking about the Clippers?
Yes, we are. And
Yes, they just received the cancer known as Nick Young. That team should be going by the wayside now.
Nick Young is not a cancer.
One half of a cancerous tumor known as JaVale McGee.
Well, I got a question for you, Black. This is what we're talking about. Now, Dick Negro is supposed to be having problems with the Clippers. He had problems with the Bulls. Now he moved over and is still supposedly having the same problem with the Clippers. Now, I'm saying to Vic that the coach has to get respect from the best player on the team in order for the rest of the team to buy in. They don't get any respect from the best player on the team, then the coach is going to have a problem with the rest of the team. I don't care if he's an offensive or defensive-minded coach. I'm saying that the coach has to get the respect and the ear of the best player on the team or the best two players on the team if they're equal. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, the coach has to get the respect of all the players, not just the best players, but the whole team. The whole team is not on board. That's a wrap, man. There's nothing you can do.
So, well, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was
going to
say, do you think that that's part of the problem in L.A.? Because Chris Paul.
Yeah, you can't always cater to the stars to have a successful organization. That stuff rarely works, unless you're Michael Jordan.
But do you think that it's Del Negro that's the problem in L.A., or is it just the Clippers organization as a whole? Because, again, I ran down the roster that Del Negro left in Chicago. He had a pretty good team. Luol Deng, Gordon, Rose, Joakim Noah, and I believe 1 year with Carlos Boozer. So is it the organization of L.A.? Because L.A.'s had a lot of problems. The Clippers have always been a bad team with Elgin Baylor as the GM, but he's no longer the GM. He hasn't been in for a long time. But is it the organization or is it Del Negro?
It could be a combination of both, but mainly the organization. But Del Negro, he's a so-so coach. He's not all he's cracked up to be, but the organization has been having problems for a long time. So it's really organizational.
Okay.
I think I beg to differ. I think it could be part of the organization, but I think it's mainly the coach. If it was De Negro coming to this team for the first time, and this is the first time he had a coaching job, and this is the first time he's had a problem, I could say it could be something going on with the organization or whatever. But he had the same problem or close to the same problem when he was in Chicago. That's why he's not in Chicago anymore. And Chicago's doing quite well without him. Now he's got the same sort of problem going into L.A. So I'm thinking it's not the players. It's got to be the coach. It's got to be something the coach is doing or not doing or whatever, but it's got to be something about the coach. That's just my opinion, for what it's worth.
Well, you know,
that's just a guy that's got F to the C, Tebow, on my team.
Well, we're going to get to you in a minute, because Black and
I'm still waiting on that picture, Jerry.
you are not going to get me T-boning. That is not happening.
Oh, we can easily superimpose you on one of them pictures. You're not Black, dude. But we're going to get to that, because Jerry made a vow. He's looking for a new team. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about one of Jerry's favorite people in the world. And one of your nemesis, Black, Tiger Woods, y'all. Here's Tiger on chasing Arnold Palmer and going to the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
We still got a long way to go. We've got 36 holes to go, so still need to continue doing what I'm doing out there, just kind of plodding my way along. And no matter how I'm playing coming in, I feel comfortable once I get there. This one, Doral's been like that. Firestone, Augusta, Torrey Pines. So I've had a few places where I've had a pretty good record at, and you know, fortunately, this is one of them.
So the knock, or not the knock, but the word is, Tiger doesn't do well in Masters if he doesn't win a tournament before a master. So after this current tournament he's in, which he's, I believe, at the top of the leaderboard right now, and he doesn't do well, I mean, what's going to happen with Tiger? Is he going to win this tournament that he's in? He's going back to the matching belt and shoes. He's on the Mr. Furley thing. But what's happening? Come on, Jerry. I know that's your dude, so talk about
it. Tiger, matching belt, matching hat, matching pants, shoes, whatever, that's all superstition. That's all just the mind stuff to say, if I get back to what I used to wear or whatever when I won, maybe I'll catch some magic. That's all in the mind. Golfers, for some reason, and I find this very funny, that their psyche is so fragile that things like this they do to try to bring him out of it, a slump or whatever, when it's all about the fundamentals with him. And I don't know. I mean, he's had so many health issues, physical health issues, which plays on his psyche. And his play's been very inconsistent, which plays on his psyche. I think he's just got to keep working through it, and sooner or later it's going to come back to him, maybe not as much as it was before, but it's going to come back to him where he's a lot more competitive than he's ever been in the last few years. So I think he's just got to keep working through it. That's all.
Okay. Black, now that you've taken his ex-wife off his hands, do you think Tiger needs to stay the course? Because he's doing well in this tournament. But, you know, the Masters is what everybody wants to see Tiger do well in. Do you think he needs to change his swing again or change his shoes? What do you think Tiger needs to be the Tiger of old?
He needs Team Nordegren back, but he's not getting Team Nordegren back. And I think this will be Rory McIlroy's tournament to lose.
Really? So Rory McIlroy is this, I guess, decade's Tiger Woods?
I wouldn't compare anybody to Tiger Woods, but I believe that Rory McIlroy should have a chance to win this tournament. He's been playing some good golf lately.
Okay. Well, like I said,
what's going to happen, I think, Vic, as it gets closer and closer, if Tiger's in contention, the thought of doubt is going to slip into his mind, just like you have with LeBron when crunch time comes. That thought may come into his mind, what's going to happen next that caused me to lose versus what do I do to win this game or to win this match? This is what I have to do to win a match, not what's going to happen to me that's going to make me lose this. That glass half empty attitude versus the glass half full.
Why are you comparing to LeBron though, dude? Come on now.
I'm not comparing him like that. You're missing the analogy of what I'm saying. He'll think on the negative side of what's going to make me lose versus I'm going to win this. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I got you. I mean, right now he's on top of the leaderboard. So
right.
I think he's going to find a way to close it out because, you know, he's got that old feeling back.
That's what he needs because let me put it this way. If he wins this, in my opinion, that's going to carry him a long way because I think for the longest, he's had that attitude of what's going to make me lose this, or how am I going to lose it this time? That's what I was saying. He's got to be able to push through the things that have been holding him down recently, and once if he pushes through those, I think you'll be able to see not quite the Tiger of old, but something a reasonable facsimile to that.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, I think we just have to see tomorrow and find out what Tiger does, and hopefully he bounces back and does what he does on the links because he looks a little pudgy. He looks like he's getting older. I mean, he's 35, 36 like I am. So, you know, it's like he's looking older than what he actually is.
Well, that's what happens to you guys when you don't take care of yourself, but that's okay.
Young guys, shut up, old dude.
That's what happens to you guys don't take care of yourself. You start running your bodies down early in life.
Well, speaking of running your bodies down early and not taking care of yourself, why did Michigan State lose to Louisville? Right now, we have Elite Eight of Louisville, Florida, North Carolina, Kansas, Ohio State, and Baylor. And Syracuse, I'm sorry. It's got Syracuse.
It's very basic, and I should have realized this, but I didn't, and it cost me my bracket. It's very basic. One of the best tournament coaches in the nation for years, has been Rick Pitino.
Uh-huh.
Rick Pitino out-coached Tom Izzo in that game. Plain and simple, Rick Pitino is one of the best tournament coaches going. And he proved it once again, and he found a way to get Louisville over the hump over Michigan State.
Black?
Yeah, I have to agree with everything Jerry just said.
Okay, I mean, listen. Michigan State is a rebounding team, but the problem that killed both teams were the turnovers. I believe both of them had like over 20 turnovers in that game. But right now, Louisville's about to play Florida to come out of the West, the South, or something like that. I mean, I didn't have Florida moving that far. Daggone sure didn't have Louisville beating Michigan State.
Let me tell you something, and that's another thing I screwed up. Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's won two national titles. Rick Pitino's only won one. Protege
right.
from Rick Pitino. And he's one of the best coaches also that is in the NCAA tournament. So this is going to be a very, very good matchup between these two, the teacher and the protege, the student. Both well-coached teams. Both of these coaches know how to get their teams to each of these levels. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm looking forward to that one, Louisville against Florida. I'm looking forward to that.
Let's hear from Billy Donovan himself real quick.
Well, we're certainly excited about our game last night and being able to advance and play tomorrow against a very good Louisville team. I think these are always challenging when you've got a day in between games to prepare. So for us, I think there's a lot to get ready for, a lot to prepare for, and just excited for these guys up here and the guys in our locker room to be playing again tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you know, Mr. Donovan, from what I understand, he hasn't beat Pitino but one time.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher versus student thing, I don't know, but Louisville's a helter-skelter team to me. At the end of the season, they came on hot, and that's the one thing you got to look for when you're doing these brackets. You know, it might be a tournament of 64, but what team is the hottest team? Just like in the NFL, you know, the Giants were the hottest team in the NFL going into the playoffs, and they won the Super Bowl 2 years in the last five. So, I mean, honestly, do you think the national champion is going to come out of this game between Louisville and Florida, considering North Carolina is struggling with their main guy having a broken wrist? Syracuse lost Mello, but they seem as though they're keeping on track. Kansas is solid, but they struggled mightily versus Ohio. I mean, Ohio State looks like they're the most complete team, and so did Kentucky. Kentucky unibrow got in so much foul trouble, he had to sit most of the first quarter, the first half.
Hey.
So, what?
My finals is Kentucky and Ohio State. I don't think either one of these teams, Florida and Louisville, are going to the national title. Rick Pitino, when you originally said what's going to happen between these two, I think Rick Pitino is probably going to win. But he preaches the same thing. Nolan Richardson, when he was with Arkansas, they had a thing called 40 Minutes of Hell because he used to preach tenacious defense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rick Pitino preaches helter-skelter offense, which is a lot of three-pointers and a lot of up-tempo.
Mm-hmm.
and a mass pandemonium in his offensive game. So I don't think that's going to fly once he gets past Florida, and I think Kentucky's going to be too much for him. I think one of the teams that have been Louisville's Achilles has been Kentucky, and they happen to be on that side of the bracket to get to the national title. So I don't think Louisville is going to be going any further than past Florida. I don't think on the other side is North Carolina is going to go anywhere past Ohio State if they get to play Ohio State, because I think Ohio State and Kentucky are the two best teams in the nation, and those two are going to go to the national title.
All right, so Black, Jerry's discounting Baylor, who actually was an
team this year. No one is counting the length of the Baylor Bears. I wonder why.
Well,
very long squad.
Yes, but the problem is they're erratic. And even though they're long, they can get boards and stuff like that, they struggled a little bit in their last game, too.
What is the NCAA tournament? It's a game-by-game tournament.
I got you. I mean, I have in my brackets pretty much all of them, and I actually took Syracuse out of my – I didn't have them going past the round of 32 once Melo was declared ineligible. But prior to that, I had my 16 or Elite Eight were Kentucky, Baylor, Michigan State, Murray State, or Missouri. And I also had, on the other side, I had Syracuse and Ohio State or Vanderbilt and Florida State. And then I also, in all of my brackets, I put North Carolina and Kansas. So my brackets aren't too messed up, but they're kind of messed up because Michigan State's gone and Syracuse is still winning. And my only hope in that region is Ohio State. Now, Ohio State looks like they can probably beat that 2-3 by the way they shoot the ball. They shoot a lot of threes, too. So they say, go ahead, give me the perimeter. I'll shoot threes. But, you know.
That Coach K shooting three thing, that doesn't get you a championship. Let me tell you that right now. That's not going to work.
If you're like Kevin Love, who went, what, 7 of 8 last night, yeah, it can happen. It can happen.
Kevin Love is an NBA player. He cannot compare to NBA in college.
I know,
right
but there
now.
Was a college kid earlier in the week who did that, and I think the team still lost, but they put up like 42 of their points. Was it Indiana? I think it was Indiana who did that. They shot like a bunch of threes, and they almost won, but they lost anyway.
Yeah, what's the key word there? They lost, right?
Okay, so who do you have going to the national championship out of the Elite Eight?
Out of the Elite Eight, I like Florida over Louisville. I think Louisville, they won the Big East Championship. They're having a good run so far, but I think they go home today. I look for Florida to be the winner in this game. I like Baylor as a dark horse.
So you think they're going to run KU out of the building?
I think it'll be a close game. They won't run them out of the building, but I think it'll be a close game. And then it'll come down to coaching.
So, what do you think about Scoop Johnson or Scoop? I can't even get his last name correct.
Scoop Jardine for Syracuse.
Yeah,
I'm a Georgetown fan, so I can never speak highly in favor of anything that's juice related up there in Syracuse.
So you think Ohio State's gonna take that game?
They could. I see that one being the tight game as well, but Ohio State could take that game. But I'm liking Kentucky to go all the way, man. I'm hoping that Ernie Grunfeld is watching his kid, Terrence Jones, and not paying attention to Harrison Barnes. If we don't get that top five pick, Ernie Grunfeld, go ahead and bring Terrence Jones along to the fold, man. Nice
that
big left-handed forward.
That's the kid out of Kansas, correct?
No, that's the guy out of Kentucky, number three.
Oh, Unibrow, my bad.
No, not Unibrow. Unibrow will be top three. I'm saying if the Wizards don't get a top three, they need to look at Terrence Jones. It's number three from Kentucky. Left-handed 6'9", 240 forward.
I kind of like the kid out of Kentucky who is from D.C.
He's
number zero.
Kansas. You like you like Thomas Washington.
Yes, I like him. Because he seems like he has a lot of maturity, and he has the body frame to play in the NBA. And we need boards. We need somebody going to get boards.
Yeah, so does Terrence Jones. But the guys you're mentioning might go top three. We might not have a top three. We'll see.
So your final two are who again, Black?
Final two? Let me give you a final four. I don't see a final two yet, but a final four, I like Florida. I like Baylor. What was the other half of that bracket then?
Well,
you got
Black,
Syracuse,
you can't have Baylor because Baylor's going to play
Kentucky.
Oh, they go against Kentucky? Oh, okay.
Yes,
well, give me Kentucky. Give me Ohio State.
And North Carolina or Kansas? The young guard might play. He might play.
Give me Kansas. I'll take Kansas.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I personally went Kansas, I went North Carolina and Kentucky in all of my brackets except for one, where I put Michigan State in there. But it's a lot of surprises going on.
I was telling my boy, he was like, when did you realize that your bracket was done? I said, I realized as soon as I hit the submit button.
Well, I have three players. Three teams still left in the Final Four. That so far, I have Kentucky, Ohio State, and North Carolina. So we'll see what happens.
I could not have been more far off this season. I'm glad I'm a college football expert.
So Vic, when are you going to decide whether it's a $25 or $50 Visa gift? Because I can't wait to get it. Because I can use it.
Well, first of all, you're sitting at number what, five? You're sitting at number five, right?
I'm sitting at number four.
Number four.
Who's the top four right now?
Jerry can look it up. I know I was in the top seven, but then my team's just lost.
I got to be bottom 15, maybe bottom 20.
Your middle name is loser, so I don't even know why you
put
him.
It's
Calipari I got mixed company here, so I can't say what's on here. Calipari is a douche. balling hard. Steve's bracket. And then the master plan. That's the top four.
Okay.
Where do the J-Walls fall on this list?
I don't even know J-Walls. You're like 20 or something, I think. You're like the last one.
View complete standing. Let me see what we got here. View complete standing. Let me see what we got. Here we go. Complete standing.
You only
did one? All it takes is one. All it takes is one. If you know what you're doing, that's all it takes.
Where J-Wall?
J-Wall.
Yeah,
Black
said his is J-Wall.
I don't even see J-Wall.
Oh, they might have booted us out of the tournament for our picks.
You jump into the one on Yahoo, you should be up in there somewhere.
Who did you pick as the final winner? Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah.
You ain't in here, brother. I'm looking
it's
for
only
one 20 to 20
teams. It's
I'm
only
looking
20 teams.
No, it's 21 teams. The 21. The guy 21st didn't have a pick. I see JJ48. Is that you, Black? That can't be.
What are some other names up there? I thought I was under J-Wall. It might be something different.
How about Taking It All?
No.
Really? That's the only other one that has Kentucky other than Vic picked,
that's the
as usual. another. Well, JJ, let me see, the taken in all is 17th. Nobody below that took Kentucky. You're 14th.
Oh, okay.
You're 14th. So I have a possible chance of getting 154 points, and I'm sitting at fourth. Number one has a chance of getting 157. Number two has a chance of getting 156. Number three has a chance of getting 139. So I'm thinking I'm sitting in a pretty good spot. We'll see what happens.
I can jump up there and catch it, Slim. Don't count the chickens before they hatch.
Well, your eggs are all rotten, so they don't even think about it.
Oh, you're cold. That's cold-blooded, dude.
I wouldn't even want to hatch your eggs because they'll stink. So
you know what? You're old. Get you some Geritol. Anyway.
I may be old, but I'm number four. And moving up.
After tonight, I'll be moved up and you'll be moved down.
We'll see what happens.
I hope, anyway. So let's move it along, guys. There are some things going on in the NFL, a lot of transactions going on. We're gonna talk about everything, but to kick it off, because I know I want to get this on live air, I don't want this to be Memorex. I want to get Jerry's thoughts on his team, the Jets. But before we do that, let's hear what Rex Ryan has to say about Tebow.
Mark is our starting quarterback. You know, there's no doubt about it. But will we have some things for Tebow each week? Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is, I think the preparation that goes into having to stop a Wildcat offense is huge. So, you know, instead of preparing for our, you know, base offense, if you want to call it that, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time preparing for what we may do or may not do.
All right.
So, go ahead, Jay. The floor is yours.
Go ahead. Rex, what the hell are you doing? Nobody wins with a two-quarterback combo. Nobody. You're trying to win a championship? It's not happening. You're going to mix two quarterbacks. One sensitive USC quarterback that can't really take leadership, don't want to get yelled at from his teammates, and doesn't want to assert himself as his quarterback's supposed to do, supposed to be his franchise quarterback. The other one can't throw an accurate pass for 5 yards. So what are you doing? What are you doing? My new team, I'm going to announce tomorrow what my new team is. I already thought about it. This is my new team. I'm jumping ship. I'm leaving the Jets.
What? What? Hold on. Hold on.
I'm dead serious. You think I'm kidding? I've had it.
Despicable.
That's
supposed to stick with your team in good times and bad times, my
I've
friend.
Had it.
What
I've had
guy
it.
Are you?
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I have been with my team older than you guys have been on this earth. Understand that. I have been with my team almost 44 years. Almost 44 years I have been with my team. I've seen a lot
going on
with my team.
You're supposed to be with your team for 45 years and beyond. there's no switching up late in the game.
Hey, when you're older, you get privileges. This is my privilege. I'm switching up. I'm leaving the New York team. I'm
what
pushing
I want
them to
is
the
winners.
Side. That's
what
exactly
I want
right.
Is winners.
The team I'm
what
picking.
What I want you to do is get on your knees, Mr. Jerry Taylor, and I want you to bend your elbow in a Tebow-like fashion. And I want you to have a closed fist, and I want you to snap a picture to send the Jet Nation.
I want winners.
Proclaiming that you are still a fan 45 years later.
Now, I'm telling you, I've seen too much. I've had enough. I've called timeout. What? Time to put the sub in, and my sub will be announced tomorrow.
Okay, well, let's go over some of the people you guys have signed. LaRon Landry for 1 year. He signed a 1-year contract with LaRon.
That's a good pick. in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, it was because of the style of defense you guys play.
Terrible.
Cover anybody.
Terrible.
Unless you just come up and hit somebody.
Terrible.
You know? And LeBron went on Twitter trashing the Skins. So I want to say that bridge is completely burned. But you're in danger of the Achilles. If he doesn't get that Achilles fixed, he might be on the bench more than on the field. I love the guy. Big beast of a man that could play ball. But, you know, you take the bat.
This situation reminds me of when my Dallas Cowboys added a number 12, Randall Cunningham, to the roster. And I couldn't have been more beside myself. But guess what, Jerry? I was still a fan.
Basically, what he's saying is, why are you leaving, punk? Why are you leaving? What's going on?
I've had enough. I've had enough is enough. And when you just know when things won't turn around. I listened to a radio show. I think it's on Thursday or Friday. No, it was Thursday. When this took place, when they announced that Tebow was coming to the team, one of the callers called into the radio station, the sports show, and said the difference between these teams is the championship management. We're talking about the Yankees, the Giants, and the Devils. That's what he was talking about in hockey, the Devils, compared to the Mets, the Jets, and the Knicks. It's all about championship management. For the longest, this team, the Jets, has been mismanaged and made horrible moves year after year, and Jet fans have been teased for like the last few years, thinking that things have turned around until something like this happens when they pick up a guy that is absolutely not a good fit for the team to coexist with a quarterback that a lot of Jet fans feel is not the franchise quarterback. And just like I had said in a couple few shows, why extend a quarterback that shows no leadership, shows no accuracy, shows no good in-game decisions, even though basically they went to two AFC championships, but the quarterback really, I mean, he performed well at times, but for the most part, did not perform well. And you extend him, and then after you extend him, you sign another quarterback to back him
a
up.
Winner,
meaning,
a winning quarterback.
Wait a minute. I'm getting to this. You signed Drew Stanton, a quarterback that used to play for the Detroit Lions, which was a decent backup quarterback. And could come in and make some plays if he had to. And then you turn around a week later or less than a week later and you sign a quarterback that, like I said, can't throw accurately for 5 yards, and you have to change
winners.
You have to change the whole offense in order for this guy to fit. Now, I'm going to talk about it now. And nobody has brought it up. I'm talking about it now.
I want winners.
You're exactly right. But the simple fact is, and hear me out, if this quarterback happened to be of a darker shade, do you think people would be this crazy about this guy? You just take everything that this guy is, everything that he does, everything that this guy is.
He's a winner.
His skill set, do you think that they would be clamoring over themselves to get this guy on their team, changing their whole offense around to get this guy to be able to perform at his max, if the guy, and I'll say it flat out, was a black quarterback?
Well, you know what?
It depends on if he was a black winner.
Hold that thought. I guess somebody might want to answer your question. I believe it's my cousin calling from the 240, and I believe this is right up his alley. Mike, is that you? Oh, God.
Green. Having to spend each day is our color of the leaves.
God. When I think it could be nicer.
Don't make me
in red or
get on
yellow
the
or gold or something
get
much more colorful. Like.
Will you just answer the question? Yeah, talk to RG3.
Compliment. You can thank the good brother Black for sending me that. I appreciate
Lord.
That.
Lord.
What's that,
hey,
fam?
Hey, how's it going, good, man?
Hey,
Mikhail, we're discussing why Jerry doesn't want winners on this football team. Oh, God. Just stop. Let me do it correctly here. Basically, what's happening is this. Jerry's jumped in the Jets' ship, right? And he brought up an interesting thought. He said that if Tebow were of a different color, namely if we were a black quarterback with the same skill set, would there be so much clamoring going on for this guy and about this guy to be on a team?
Jerry is right. No, there wouldn't be that much clamoring. It wouldn't.
Okay. So why do you think that Tebow is because they want to sell jerseys? I mean, why do you think the Jets had such a strong interest in Tebow and went after him?
Because Tebow is a winner.
I have no idea why the Jets went after him. I was hoping Jerry had some insight because I was confused. I really thought that he was going to wind up in Florida, whether it be with Jacksonville or Miami. Jacksonville would have been a better place for him to go, and I'm kind of surprised that the Jacksonville front office, and I'm surprised that the owner, one, I understand the front office, you know, they passed on him and they didn't want that type of football going on down there, but I was surprised that once they bucked at the owner, I'm surprised that he didn't just straight out fire him.
Now, Mikhail,
you know
let me
saying?
Get this straight now.
Straight
you said that this guy, that these guys didn't want winning football coming? Is that what you're telling me?
No, they didn't want that. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, this Jacksonville has been not making money forever. You know what I'm saying? Even when Brunel was down there and they were winning, they still weren't making any money. So now you got this guy that is, a Miami favorite, and the people are just crazy about him. And look, they needed to get him down there. I'm a little perplexed at why he ended up at the Jets. I don't know why.
I'll tell you this: the rumor was that he had a choice between Jacksonville and the Jets, and honestly, Jacksonville gave the better deal. The rumor is he didn't want to go back to Jacksonville because that's where he's from. And the Jets offered a better opportunity to win right now. And if you think about it, you got Blaine Gabbert and you got Chad Henne down in Jacksonville. So basically what you're saying is we just spent a first-round draft pick last year on Gabbert. Now we're going to bring in Tim Tebow, who isn't that
you're not
much
factoring
better.
You're not factoring in Tim Tebow's thinking. Tim Tebow
exactly.
knows that he's not better than Chad Henne, but he sure knows he's better than Mark Sanchez.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Because that's what I'm getting to, Black, because he knows that if Jacksonville truly wants to develop Gabbert, he's not going to have that much of a role down there, even though he does have MJD, but there's nothing else there. But if he goes to the Jets, okay, he knows they're going to use him in Wildcat, but he also knows that Sanchez is walking a tight, thin rope. So if something happens, he might get off
the rope. A tight, thin rope? This dude just signed this crazy contract.
It doesn't matter. Kevin Cobb signed a huge contract last year, and they tried to replace him with Peyton Manning or somebody better. So they didn't want to give him that $7 million.
No, you're going down the wrong rabbit hole, man.
I'll take this bet right now. Tebow will be the Jets' starting quarterback before week 11.
I don't know.
You know, you can't survive. There's no winning with a two quarterback system.
I don't know what you're envisioning this two quarterback system. They're not doing that.
I'm telling you, what's going to happen is this: Mark Sanchez is going to be starting the game. They're going to have packages where Mark Sanchez either comes out the game or is in a different position, and Tim Tebow is going to be playing the read and react position of the quarterback. I have no idea why you would do that. You just extended a quarterback that you felt is a franchise quarterback, even though I really beg to differ. And after you do that, then you sign somebody like a Tim Tebow who has no kind of skill set for a quarterback. Maybe a tight end or a running back, but he has no skill set for a quarterback. If it was a black quarterback that had this, he would either not be on a team, he would be the third string quarterback, but no one would make a fuss over this guy and change their offense in order to get this guy to play.
My lady would agree with you right now. She's giving me the evil look because I'm talking about her bun, Mark Sanchez. But guess what? Sanchez is garbage. I need you, along with Jerry Taylor, to hit the Tebow for me, please.
Oh, Lord.
Let me tell you something. I cannot believe that this team picked this guy up. For what? I have no idea except for to put fannies in the seat and sell some jerseys. I understand all that. But you still have part of your fan base that wants to win. Now, he won He won on smoke and mirrors in Denver. He won on smoke and mirrors in Denver. They caught up with Tim Tebow. He got beat up against New England. He got beat up against several teams that played him. I mean, I understand they went 8-8. They got into the playoffs, but that was a fluky season for the AFC West because San Diego decided they didn't want to play this season. They just wanted to just collect checks, and that's about it. That's going to be totally different next year when Peyton Manning goes and plays in the AFC West. Phillip Rivers goes back to being Phillip Rivers. That division is going to be different. This is a tough division, AFC East, with the Patriots in there, and quite naturally, the Buffalo Bills are probably the defense is going to be a little tougher than it was this past year. And the Miami defense is not that bad. They got problems when they hired David Garrard.
I'm about to get to that, Jerry. Because when you go over to all the signings, right, you have Matt Flynn going to Seattle. You've got Alex Smith staying in San Francisco. When you go to the AFC East, you see a couple of changes. Mario Williams going to Buffalo, and they're going to convert back to a 4-3 instead of a 3-4, and that helps out last year's draft pick because now he can split those double teams or shoot a gap as opposed to getting doubled all the time. Mario Williams on the outside. But Fitzpatrick is not the answer, in my opinion, there. But you have David Garrard. After they trade away Brandon Marshall to the Chicago Bears to reunite him with Jay Cutler, you bring in David Garrard, who's coming off of a one-year absence from the sport because of injury, and he really has nobody to really play with. He's more of a running quarterback in that system because you're not going to hand the ball off to You can try to hand the ball off to Reggie Bush 20 times a game and see how long that lasts. But Devon Best, I don't think he's that number one guy. I don't think they have a number two guy. So that tells me they're going for a receiver in this year's draft. They're going to try to get another quarterback later on. But I don't get it. There's a lot of shuffling going on at the quarterback position, thanks to Peyton Manning signing with the Broncos. But now you see a lot of players like Terry Porter and Dreesen and Jacob Tammy headed to Denver because of Peyton Manning. How do you think I guess you want to call it the Peyton Manning effect, has affected the entire NFL? A lot of players are looking at, okay, well, do I want to play with Peyton Manning, or do I want to win now, or am I just trying to get a paycheck so I get something new? That's what I see David Garrard doing. He's there just so he can reestablish himself and go to a different team. But what do you guys, and Drew Stanton, does Drew Stanton stand a real chance at starting in Indianapolis if Luck doesn't pan out right away? So those are my questions to you guys. This is the Peyton Manning effect. How do you think this is going to fall out? Let's go with Brock first, Mike, then Jerry.
No, let me hear the panel first before I go in, because I'm still appalled at this announcement from the master.
Oh, God. All right, Mike, what do you think?
I mean, this is news to me. Drew, what's his name?
Drew Stanton.
He demanded a trade. He demanded a trade from the Jets when they signed Tim Tebow. And they traded him to Indianapolis for a seventh-round draft pick. And if Luck doesn't pan out in the beginning, he looks like he might start. He has a couple years' experience. He can run an offense, and he's not worried about the big lights and bright things going on because it's a rebuilding team anyway.
That's a bad move for Drew, Slim. That's a real bad move for Drew. I would have stuck it out. I would have stuck it out there, up there in the Jets. I would have stuck it out. I wouldn't have demanded a trade. But I don't think it's going to work for him down in Indianapolis because I think Luck is going to pan out. I don't think he's going to be good as the second round draft pick. But he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to get a chance to get, you know, to take over that franchise down there. But no, I think he should have been traded to like Miami or something. I think David Garrard is in a good position, you know, because Miami just lost on everything this offseason. Just everything. They lost Peyton. They lost fighting for RG3. They lost everything. Just everything. And and they finally wind up just signing him or whatever. But nah, I think it was a bad move for Drew.
Okay.
Well, I think those few players that went to Denver, I wouldn't say it's a knee-jerk reaction, but I guess they're basically trying to jump on the bandwagon because they feel a vibe that because Peyton Manning's there. Big things are going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think they'll be very competitive, but I don't think they're going even to the AFC Championship. I don't think it's going to happen for Denver this year. Excuse me. Not all the players that played with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis decided to wait to see where Peyton was going. Reggie Wayne re-signed with Indianapolis. Pierre Garçon is going to York Washington Redskins, and Jeff Saturday, who happens to be Peyton Manning's Ace Boone Coon, that's
went
an old
Green
saying,
Bay.
Went to Green Bay. So it's ironic that Peyton Manning goes to Denver. Tim Tebow decides that, not decides, but they decided for him that he's going to get traded. He gets traded to New York, and Drew Stanton goes to Indianapolis. Like, they're completing the full circle and putting another quarterback there. So... and then, like Mikal was talking about, Miami pretty much got shut out of getting any kind of quarterbacks, any viable quarterbacks, in my opinion. They didn't get Peyton Manning. Alex Smith was flirting with them. They didn't even get Alex Smith. They didn't get what made a logical choice for me, and the owner said they really weren't interested in Matt Flynn. Well, why have him come down there and talk to him if you weren't interested? Which is, to me, the owner's a bunch of bull, and it's a lot reason why a lot of people won't go down there because of the owner and the GM Jeff Ireland happened to be very cheap and very untruthful to players and doing things. You got them getting rid of Brandon Marshall, and he said if they couldn't trade Brandon Marshall, they would have cut him. Now, come on. I mean, who in their right mind was going to cut Brandon Marshall if they couldn't get anything for him. So the owner.
That's crazy. That was a bad move by them too.
There's a lot of things that the issues are with the Miami Dolphins on that front. Getting people. They couldn't get Jeff Fisher when they tried to go for him. They couldn't get Jim Harbaugh last year when they had a coach and they went after Jim Harbaugh, which is a very classless move during the season.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of issues and a lot of things going down in Miami. But it's not, to me, I don't know which is worse in the AFC East, what Miami's doing or what the Jets are doing. I have no clue.
Let me ask you this then. I ask everybody honestly here. Where is Stetson going to land?
You got to get Black too, because he wants to.
My bad, Black. What are your thoughts on the first question?
Drew Stanton. There's no chance Drew Stanton starts in Indianapolis. This is the Andrew Luck show. Stanton is just there for insurance in case an injury goes there.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking about the full circle effect, like Jerry was breaking down, but it's cool. I mean, I think he will actually play a game or two. I actually think so. But we'll see what happens. But I want to talk about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis leaving Indianapolis and now the full-time halfback in Cincinnati. Since Cedric Benson will not be coming back, the law firm has taken his talent to Cincinnati. Now, Rashay Caldwell left Cincinnati to go play with Peyton Manning in Denver. I mean, he's a young guy. He stayed out of trouble. Somewhat. Jerome Simpson is the one that's in trouble. What does Andy Dalton get with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis that he didn't have with Cedric Benson?
Better running back.
Do you think he's a better running back than Cedric Benson?
Absolutely. Benson is basically a plotter. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has got more of a burst and is more versatile than Cedric Benson, that's the reason why Cedric Benson's not there again. I mean, it's going to probably be a running back by committee, with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis getting the majority of the touches, but Bernard Scott's going to be involved in that too. So
you think it's an upgrade?
I definitely think it's an upgrade. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, if you look at his stats, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but he had very good stats when he was with when he played. He had very good stats. I think his average per carry was like 5 yards, an average per carry. So that I
but
do.
He was never a 20-plus a game running back, though.
Well,
my question is the durability.
That's the system that New England ran. New England ran those running backs in and out of there all the time.
Correct.
They've been doing that for years.
Is he ready? Is he ready to do 20, 25 carries a game like Cedric?
I do believe so, yes. And I also told you Bernard Scott's going to be involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
I gotcha. But if you give somebody that much money, I think you want to get them on the field a lot more than Bernard Scott, because Bernard
I did say BJ is going to get the most of the carries when Bernard Scott going to be involved also. So they have a lot of running backs in the league that get a lot of carries, but there's always somebody to come in to do a change of pace or spell a guy for a series or something like that. And that's what Bernard Scott's going to be doing. So, I let me put it this way: I think this is going to happen to the Texans also. I think that Ariel Foster is going to get a lot of carries, but I can guarantee you that that backup is going to be heavily involved also, because they know what he can do now. So,
well, let me, since you brought up the Texans, I was going to go to the Redskins, but I'll go with the Texans real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot of players on defense. D'Amico Ryan went to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Williams went to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They had another linebacker leave them. I think it's Antoine Smith, the DN, that's
right.
Leaving them.
And Joel Dreesen left them too.
Yeah, Joel Dreesen,
mm-hmm.
who had a big role last year because of the knee for, you know, Owen Daniels. He had some issues going on. So my question to you guys is, can Houston retool on defense with Wade Phillips at the head and just – because Ryan Cushing did a very good job playing inside linebacker. He did a very good job. But who are they going to pair him with to play inside linebacker and J.J. Watt on the outside? Who do they have, guys?
Who wants to take that first? Because in my opinion, Wade Phillips is the key there. He's the key. He's that defensive guru that Houston needed, and he'll find the players to put in those positions to make up for the players that they lost. So that bothers me, but it didn't really bother me as much as you think it should. So,
Black, what do you think?
Wade Phillips is a plug and play league. Wade Phillips will find a way to get it done.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was easy enough. I thought it was going to get a little bit more conversation, but let me turn to Mike on the Pierre Garçon signing. Now, personally, I think Pierre Garçon is a very good receiver. He's a sometimes
Smart.
Receiver. He to me, he's more like Devin Thomas, except shorter.
No. Lead out Smurf.
Well, he's able to make the big plays, but he also has the drops sometimes. And that
Lead
reminds
out
me of
Smurf.
Clark. What?
Your number one, your number one wideout is a Smurf.
The talk is that Santana Moss might be leaving.
That's all right. That's all right, Black. Because if you remember the Miami Dolphins, those two marks weren't that the big receivers also, and they did very well with a very good quarterback. And I think that's the key, the quarterback.
And the Skins had a receiving corps called the Smurfs before, so I ain't worried about it. They were very successful.
Right.
But
that was 80s
Mike,
football.
My question to Mike is, shut up. My question to Mike is,
it's so easy.
Is Pierre Garçon, you know what? Is Pierre Garçon the best target for RG3 to hook up with immediately, or not Leonard Davis, or is it Davis? And it doesn't look like they're going to get rid of Cooley. But who's the best target for RG3 to hook up with immediately? Seems
the best target
the
for RG3 is the guy that worked out with him at the pro day. You better draft that guy.
Kendall Wright?
Kendall Wright.
We're not going to be able to get him. We've been looking at him. They've been looking at him. But we're not going to be able to get him. I don't think he's going
to
be. Because we don't pick. Again, into the third round, and RG3 said it himself. If he happens to be around in the third round, there's a team that'll probably take him.
Oh yeah,
well,
I mean he wants to.
Yeah,
in
we
my
want opinion, him too.
In my opinion, is this? My opinion, any young quarterback, his best friend, it's been like this for umpteen years, is the tight end. So the favorite target for RG3 until he gets his feet under him and probably
can locate
here,
the Smurfs will be Fred Davis.
Will be Fred Davis. Fred Davis is always tight end. I mean Fred Davis is a tight end, and the tight end's best friend or best friend for a young quarterback is the tight end. It's been proven over and over for whatever amount of years the NFL's been in existence. And the passing game has come to fruition. The tight end is the key for because it's a quick release. It's a quick pick pass to a tight end and to get rid of the ball for a young quarterback. So it's something basic.
I think Davis would be a good target for him and Garçon as well. And I follow the thinking of the organization of drafting Garçon.
Right.
Now I don't think that Garçon is that true number one as of yet, and I don't know if he will develop into one. But I like the fact that he's 25. He's a young
right.
guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he can make plays. So I get that part. I honestly think that Cooley will be RG3's best friend. He is the better tight end. I mean,
oh.
yeah,
I
he is the better tight end. He's the better tight end. I mean, granted, Fred Davis has that big play capability, but he's not the type that bails the quarterback out. Cooley can bail you out. Cooley has bailed out all of the past five quarterbacks he's had. He's bailed out from Philly. I forgot his name. Yeah,
Donovan McNabb.
He bailed out Donovan. He bailed out Brunell. He bailed out all those quarterbacks. Every last one of them. And that's why he's been around and they like him.
Go ahead. I was gonna
segue into Santana. I thought that if they had signed Eddie Royal, that Santana was gonna be gone. I really thought that, and I'm glad that they didn't sign him. Right now I believe Santana's gonna be sticking around. But I also thought that they haven't properly used him. You know, I think that he's more than just a slot. Santana's the type of wide receiver you can put him all over the field. And there was never a second wide receiver that was either a threat or something on the other side of him or anywhere on the other on the other side of him to take advantage of that. I mean, because if you put Santana on the outside, you just double up and keep the safety over the top. You don't let him burn you. You know, you put him in the slot. You could get a couple of dinks and dudes and stuff like that, and just hope that he'll break it out. But he hadn't broken them out, but so much. So no, I don't think that they were properly utilizing him. I think with Garcon now and you got Gaffney, if they keep him, and then Hankerson and the development of the rest of the wide receivers, I think they should be fine. But who knows.
My opinion is this, man. I think Cooley's days has come and gone. I think his skill set has eroded so much that there's no way, in my opinion, that Cooley is the better option for RG3. I think Fred Davis is way past Cooley at this point as a big play and a consistent tight end.
I agree
with the move of getting Pierre Garçon. You got a young quarterback, you got a young wide receiver coming in there. I think that's an excellent move to get those guys to build a rapport with each other right from the beginning for years to come, as long as they both stay healthy. I just have to see what's going to happen to RG3 when Kyle Shanahan gets to him. I just have a bad taste in my mouth about that. I hate to say it like that, but I have no faith, and I've said it more than once, I have no faith in Kyle Shanahan to put RG3 in the right direction to make him a big-time quarterback.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that, but I believe RG3 is going to be a good enough quarterback that you will not see Rex Grossman at all this year.
You're wrong.
Hope. Well, no. I honestly think they got Rex Grossman just in case. Well, they re-signed him just in case there was some learning difficulties with RG3, which I don't think there will be. I think RG3 is going to come out and start at the beginning of the season. And hopefully he will maintain the job. Well, the problem will be finding him weapons that are going to continue to be there and put him in a situation to be open. Because RG3 will create with his legs as well as with his arm.
Do you smell that?
What's that?
I smell some action.
Hey, it's whatever. Come on.
I got $20 to say Rex Grossman will be your starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
When? At the beginning of the season or at some point in the season?
I just said he will be your starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
For the entire season or just the first game? I mean, there's
I didn't say, I just said he will be your starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. That's all I said.
Ben, that's why I'm trying to get clarification, because he can start one game.
He's going to start more than one game. Okay, all right. You want to go like that? I guarantee you that he will start at least the first five.
The first five games?
The first five games, yes.
All right, I'll be in California when I'm there, so I'm taking you up on your wager there. So get ready. I'll take PayPal. Send it as a gift so PayPal don't take no money out of it.
Are you gonna be healthy enough to fly? Because that's a nice long flight.
Well, I gotta get out of here. Well, I'm not leaving until later part of June, so I should be good by then.
Okay. I mean, you're an older guy, so you may heal a little slower.
You know what? You geriatric. It all depends wearing. Whatever. Anyway, we got about 4 minutes. Football team switching. We have about 4.5 minutes left live on the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down all of our shows real quick, let everybody get some words in, and we're not going to go into overtime. As you can tell, my voice is getting a little bad. I'm not really talking as much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, that HGH shipment is on its way, my friend. No, never fear. Never worry.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me. It's Mr. FSP Vic Gardner. Doing what I do with my boys. I got Jerry, ATM Taylor. I got Black the Bookie. I won't give his government out because, you know, they're looking for him. I got my cousin, Mikhail. Can I give your last name out, Slim?
Oh, just know, play Mikhail. It's cool, Slim. Thanks. Really?
All right. I mean, y'all get all anal when I call you Mike. You know, it's like they're your family or something. Jeez. Anyway.
They know that you're supposed to be my family, and you just cutting up. they trying to help you.
Whatever. Anyway, I got him on the line too. I call him. But on Saturdays, you're gonna get this show, Fancy Sports and Politics, and then on Sundays you get the Master Plan. I think Jerry's gonna take a break. What is Black? Why are you chanting Black? What's going on?
Oh, that's the Al Bundy. You call him? Remember Al Bundy went to the record store and was looking for that song? He didn't know the lyrics, but he didn't know this part. Him.
Oh, God. Okay. We got Jerry with the Master Plan on Sundays. And this week, Jerry's going to tell you what team he's dumping the Jets
for. This is an absolute travesty.
It sure is.
A sheer mockery.
He's a bandwagoner for 44 years. That's pretty much what he is. But this Sunday he's going to do that. What else are you going to talk about Sunday?
Your football player fan card has been removed.
I'm also going to be talking about black and white. I'm also going to be talking about black and white in the NFL. I'm talking about RG3 versus Andrew Luck. I got a clip loaded. I hope you didn't delete it. I got a clip loaded
Your football. You even talking football. Your access should be revoked.
I deleted it. It was it RG3 versus Luck or something like that.
Yes.
I deleted it, man.
Don't worry about it because I have the clip and I'll put it back in there.
Okay.
And the
ridiculous.
The different dichotomy and the talk about the two. And I also won't be on any of the shows Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday next week.
Yes.
Who the hell switches teams after 44 years of fandom?
Well, you know, he's got to go and rake. He has to be in recluse for this switch, so he's going to bail out for a week. So he can make the change so all the Jet people don't get them. So, and this Tuesday, we're not going to do, we're not doing Compassion to Kenny because Kim is coming down from Mount Kilimanjaro as we speak. And she'll be back week after next. But then on Thursday, you got Black, and then it's going to be Black and Jeff. I'll try my best to get in on that one. What you got planned for this Thursday, Black?
I'm not sure really yet. I'm still floored by this news. It just totally threw off my thought of planning. And I might have a Hollywood producer joining us Thursday just for a quick bit. I'm in the venture with him as far as getting some athletes. So if any of you guys know any young guys that are entering college or they're in college right now and are planning to leave and hit the draft up, you let me know. I've dabbled my hand into the sports agency thing. And we're going to make it happen, man.
Okay.
You do what you do, Slim. You do what you do. As long as, you know, it's legal, it's all good. So my cousin, Grown Soul and Real Talk, what's going on with you?
We're gonna have another countdown to Zimmerman's arrest on Wednesday. we just had a couple of shows talking about the Trayvon Martin case, and we're still gonna be on that next week. Join us 8:30 p.m. Wednesday night. That is Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
Man, oh man, that is a heated case. I hope I can tune into that show. I was telling one of my boys, if I didn't have a daughter, I would personally take that bounty and go find Mr. Zimmerman.
No doubt.
Well, I don't want to get into it because we're going to overtime, but I have some very strong views. I want you guys to go to my page on Facebook and read what Geraldo Rivera said is the real reason why the kid
That's
got killed,
crazy.
Which is stupid.
Yeah,
it's
very
stupid in my opinion.
Yeah, he's just fighting for some type of relevancy.
Yeah, he needs some publicity.
Yeah,
well,
that's all.
Basically what he says, it's the hoodie's fault. It's the fault of wearing a hoodie.
Right.
Yeah,
he'll be Mark Sanchez. Yeah, he's just chiming in. It ain't even worth talking about.
Well, that's what's happening with these shows, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm doing my best. I'm struggling with my voice, but I'm going to make things happen because it's what I do. I love doing this, and it's good. It's all good. But
get some rest.
Yeah, I got to get some rest right now. But I want to thank my cousin. I want to thank Black. I want to thank Jerry and all those that were listening to the show. Jerry, you know what I need you to do about right about now.
From all
the being green.
Oh, shut up.
Yellow, purple, or blue.
I'm going to hang up on you.
Easy being green.
I'm going to hang up on you.
From all of us, and including Vic Gardner, you've been listening to...
Things in sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble. You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports.